two words. Check 1, 2. Check, check.
Check, checkity, check, check.
Oh, you're good too.
Hey.
Oh, that's looking great.
Almost like I know how to podcast.
It's almost like you do.
And then I turn on that radio voice. It's good.
I wish I had that radio voice. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back. Aloha, Mud Babies, Pod People, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, sitting down here with the radio voice,
Ooh. Who
sounds like he knows podcasting, because he does. He's... Well, you don't do it anymore, though, do you?
We're starting another one up that we... Well, we're rehashing one, but yeah, no, the Comedy Buffet's dead.
Okay. It's Michael Powell, everybody, from Comedy Buffet.
There we go.
Or was Comedy Buffet.
Was.
Oh, man, that's sad. Are you going to bring back actual Comedy Buffet?
No. Comedy Buffet is gone. Gone for good.
Oh.
I get a lot of... I say a lot of response for it, like, you should bring that back. But it's mostly just comics. I have no fan base on that one at all.
Welcome to stand-up comedy.
Exactly.
But, you know, I was talking to another comic the other day about podcasting, and... Because I said, you know, I've been doing this going on almost 4 years now.
Okay.
I think you did it longer.
4 years is about how long we ran the buffet.
Yeah. So, and I said, he goes, how's your listenership? I go, it's pretty good. I'm happy with it. I mean, it gets people coming to my shows.
Right.
It not only do fans find it, but new people find it, and then they find your stand-up.
There you go.
And that's what I have found. And he goes, yeah, but everybody's got a podcast these days. And then another comic said, yes, and I think they should, because that's how you reach your fans.
That's how, yeah, it's almost like pinpoint marketing at that point. Yeah, you find exactly who wants to listen to you. So I guess our problem was nobody wanted to listen to us.
But your friends, your mom listened, right?
No, mom didn't. I wouldn't let my mom listen to
that
show. Oh, hell no. No. The same reason I'm really glad she doesn't like Facebook.
Yeah, I wish mine...
I got a friend's request once from Facebook from a guy that I know. His father-in-law friended me, and I knew that he was like super Christian.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw him like a week later, and I was like, hey, I noticed you friended me on Facebook. He's like, oh, yeah. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll accept it, but I'll give you a month before you delete me as a friend.
And how long did it take?
He goes, oh, okay. And then it just sat there. I never confirmed it. He never deleted it. So I finally deleted it. I'm like, no.
I don't want to expose you.
You really
to this.
Don't need to be.
I'm the Zika virus of comedy.
I mean, I don't do like really bad things on Facebook. Mostly on Twitter. Twitter's where I really go to get
me too.
Really, really bad.
I agree.
But I still post some very just. I call them like Jeselnik jokes. Just really, just awful shit on Facebook.
Yeah,
so.
And I hate to slam anybody on Facebook because, you know, people can take things wrong, and I'm not meaning
it. Oh, yeah.
That. But Facebook takes everything wrong.
Yes.
Just everything.
It takes itself wrong.
And I can post the same joke on Twitter and get retweeted like crazy, post it on Facebook, and be slammed for, oh, that is so bad, that's disgusting.
Right.
I don't know why anybody would come to your shows. You know what I mean? I don't know if people just want to complain, they want to be offended, or it's because every idiot with a keyboard can use half their brain to type out a misspelled sentence.
Yes. I agree with all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it really is. It almost is like unfortunately has given people a voice.
Yes.
So, I mean.
Good and bad.
I mean, I there's some, you know, Facebook people, they – Well, oh, I, some great stuff. I love it. And then there's other ones, and I'm just like, well,
I agree, but
I don't want to read this anymore.
It could be almost like a big government experiment that's a way for the government to keep track of the idiots. You know what I mean? Before, they just kind of lurked in the dark in the hills and
right.
the valleys and the marshes of the world. And now, you know, they can put it out, and government goes, all right, keep track of that group.
We need to watch that guy.
Watch that guy.
Well, that's all when really – insane and just retarded people on Twitter. Oh yeah, I brought some rock stars.
Thank you.
No, well,
go ahead.
No worries.
No, what were you saying?
No, when really just dumb people on Twitter post, you know, presidential death threats, and then it's like, hey, congratulations. You know, now they've gotten like, you know, 2,000 fans in 30 minutes because they're just all waiting for the account to be deleted. You know,
or the government to post something.
And there's usually the comments like, "Are the black Suburbans outside your house yet?" I mean, yeah, it's
against the law.
I don't even know why. Yeah. Oh God, it blows me away.
Well, how can people and I can talk to you about this because I know you well, and I know you are very up-to-date, very educated of the system.
Well,
I appreciate
you
that.
Might be giving me too much credit.
Yeah, and I know a lot of times we are on opposite sides of the fence.
On some things, yeah.
On some things.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that. I appreciate a good discussion.
Okay.
Now, what I see on Twitter is that people just post just sheer ignorance. And how can you be that ignorant? That's what worries me about the country. It's almost like, how do you not know this about your Constitution? How do you not know this about the laws of your country? Or even these people that keep doing the on the streets, you know, like
– oh, yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff. You know, who won the Civil War? What year was that? You know what I mean? It's, how do you well, not – did you not pay attention the entire life? I don't understand how you can seriously be that ignorant.
Who – that was Jay Leno that did that at the beginning, right?
Yeah,
he went out
yeah.
and did that, you know,
yeah.
going around Universal Studios and finding just dumb people that didn't know anything. I always – everything's swayed. Everything's spun. And I'm like, how many people actually knew the right answer till you found one guy who didn't so you can be like, look how stupid everybody is. That's – on those kind of things, that's how I take it.
Yeah, but – okay, and I can agree with you on that.
But that one guy, wow.
Wow. But you see it a lot more now on Facebook where there's the couple groups that go around college campuses. There's a couple
right.
you know, groups that interview campus.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're this ignorant? Seriously?
There was one – oh, man, probably 10 years ago where the guy was going around – oh, God, what was it? I think it was William & Mary College. And getting all the women to sign a petition to end women's suffrage. They didn't know what it was. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I suffering. Oh, suffering sounds terrible. Sarah. Let's end women's suffrage. It's like, oh wow.
Wow.
Wow. That one blew me away.
Well, the one that blew me away most recently was, if you don't vote for Hillary, you ladies have a special place in hell.
Well. Okay.
Madeleine Albright.
Now, would they have said the same thing in 08 with Obama? Like all African Americans? Hey, if you don't vote for Obama, you're going to hell.
Going to hell.
Could you imagine what would have happened?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just so weird. Like, all my life, I've always been for equality. That's all my life. My dad and I.
That's obvious.
I'm holding a chick dog right now. My dad and I, as a kid, I fought about like my Jimi Hendrix posters and albums. And it's that kind of, I've always been like, I want equality. I want it.
Right.
And then if I post something about equality, I'm the bad guy because I didn't sway too far enough to the other side.
Right.
And that's what's bothering me more and more. Is like, if I don't just come out and go, yeah, Black Lives Matter, instead of going, all lives matter.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I find that very disturbing in this day and age. What happened to just wanting Martin Luther King's, we'll all be judged by the content of our character?
Exactly.
That bothers me so much.
Yeah.
And one of my close friends, a local comic that I won't say his name on the podcast, said, I've known you all my life, but I can't get behind you on this. Because I was talking about how I think we need to pull it back on the Black Lives Matter and just trying to all become one happy group.
That, yeah. I think this is something we agree on.
we found something.
Well, I totally agree with that. I mean, The Black Lives Matter movement, I think, is important, but I think it's gone a little farther than – or people have taken it out of context as to what it meant. But also, I can't understand what anybody's going through. I can't understand what a black person in this country is going through because I'm not.
Right.
I've never – Ben, I don't understand I can understand it. I can see, you know, things on the news. I can read articles. I understand there's something going on there. But the talking to a few Denver comedians and saying that they're saying that they fear for their life every time a cop car pulls up behind them. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah. And I'm like, if that's how you feel, then let's talk about that. But I don't get that because I wasn't raised.
Or is that just something that has just been pushed into your head? Pushed in. It's almost like somebody that keeps. If you keep bathing in poison and you eventually die, isn't it your responsibility to get out of the poison?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of like I was talking to another comic of saying, I grew up in a period of Love Train. Love Train, all aboard the love. You remember that? I go, I still love that song.
Yeah.
But apparently the Love Train got off track.
Right.
And that seems to be the problem. If you let it get off track and you keep perpetuating it off track and you keep driving the train further and further off the track, whose fault is that?
Right.
You see what that's.
That makes sense.
At one point, we were doing great. We were getting, you know, doing pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And I feel like now there's a lot of tension.
Well, I mean, also, gosh, I hate media bashing, but I think the media does have a lot to do with that.
I agree.
About devising us against each other. So.
But why do you think they would even want – I mean, I know division, you can control people, you can get their money.
Right.
But why would you want to divide a country? Why would you why would the media want to collapse?
Who owns the media?
Saudi Arabia?
Oh, God.
I just did that for you.
Bingo. No, I mean, I think, you know, the media is politically controlled, so it's there's no real news anymore. It's reported what they tell you to report, and so
yeah,
they can control what you hear, so the politics wants you divided. So they get the media to divide you as further down the road than what politics has already successfully done.
So what do you think? They'll take us as far as they can to almost the breaking point of civil war and then try to swing it all back? Or how do you end a snowball of hell?
I don't know. And it's something I don't particularly think about a lot.
And that's why people drink right there.
Exactly.
Because I know people so much now, they're like, I don't care. I don't want to know. I don't care. I just want to do my thing. And that's that put your head in the sand and let it snowball. That scares me almost more than people that are militant about trying to make change. You know,
right.
The people that are just like, I don't give a shit. Broncos are playing. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I've just got a ton of my own problems to really worry about anybody else's right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're going through
going through a divorce.
Yeah, thanks at everybody. Welcome to the real world.
And I have parking tickets now. This is dumb.
What?
Well, I moved to Denver. All of a sudden, now I get parking tickets a lot.
Oh, you got street parking?
Yeah.
You're not paying attention to the don't park here on Tuesday through
stupid
9 to 5.
Street sweeping got me like 3 times. I'm like, damn it. And student loans. Oh, my God. Yeah, still dropped out of art school in 93, and I'm still
paying student loans?
Still, well, no, not really paying them anymore, but they really want me to.
Yeah. Won't you just send them a little note? As you know, you've received my last payment.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a really good lawyer to get me out of them.
Well, you're not using the job,
nope.
Are you, that came
nope.
with that schooling?
Nope.
So, obviously, they failed on their
exactly
their schooling.
Yes. Students' lives matter.
What
is what I'm trying to say
here. Was this one of the art academies?
Yeah, it was the Art Institute, yeah.
Art Institute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Because when you sign up for them, they tell you, we have a placement.
Yeah, we get you a job right away. But I did drop out. That was the thing.
Oh,
so,
all right.
So that's my fault.
All right.
But
how long did you go before you dropped out?
Oh, God, I was like 3 weeks out to graduation when I said no.
What?
My parents are proud.
All right, I got to hear this story. How do you go almost graduation 3 weeks?
Alcohol.
Was that what it was? You just
No. I really just was like, I'm done. I'm not ever going to do this. It's not what I wanted to do. So, oh well.
Because that's my background. I mean, that's what I went to school for, is art.
Okay. Well, see, I should have gone to school for art. The Art Institute's a graphic design school.
Right. And you can learn music production, and you can learn photography, and you can learn how to do...
The music video class was just like the smoking pad of every high school.
Was it really?
That's exactly what that was, yeah. So, I don't even know if they have that anymore.
Yeah, because I worked there at the Art Institute of Denver when I first moved here. Because I wanted to move to Colorado. Well, back up a little bit. I was the cartoonist for the Houston newspaper, Houston Chronicle.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to move to Colorado. So I kept applying to all these, like the Denver Post, the Rocky Mountain News, saying I'm a cartoonist with one of the largest papers in the nation. I'm moving and kept getting turned down and rejected. And then I'd try ad agencies and things around Denver and got turned down and rejected. So I took a job at the Art Institute of Colorado, teaching a class on how to prepare your and present your portfolio to get a job.
Oh.
I couldn't do it, so I was going to teach people how to do it. And I was going to work in that placement department.
Okay.
And that lasted about maybe 5 or 6 months. And
oh, wow.
No, I can't do this. I can't. I don't feel good about this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm keep calling these people. No, we don't need anybody. No, we don't want anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, students, have you been able to get me a job? I've been graduated for a year. Nope, sorry. Can't admit it.
Nope. Well, and that was one of the first things they told you, too, is upon graduation, get a new portfolio. Don't walk in with the Art Students League of Denver on the side of your portfolio. You won't get the job. What the fuck am I doing here then?
Yeah. That's like going, did you graduate from Yale? Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So I was like, I'm done. I'll just work at Pizza Hut for a while.
Yeah. So what are you doing right at this moment?
Like literally?
Art-wise.
Oh, I do bottle cap art right now.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah.
You're doing like a Captain America shield.
I did the Captain America shield, and I've got another piece right now that's I'm putting them on a snowboard, and it's got a Colorado flag with mountains in it. And
are you drinking all these bottles?
God, no. I mean, I felt like it after that Super Bowl win, but no. I got some bars around town, and Comedy Works actually is one of the bartenders down there supplying me
like
with some
saving
bottle
you caps. Every
yeah,
cap.
Yeah, I get like hundreds of them just dropped. I literally, my apartment has like thousands of bottle caps right now.
Do you?
It's ridiculous.
Do you go through like don't? I don't need anything but red and blue. Or
yeah,
like, don't give me everything.
No, everything. I just take everything and everything's separate. I've got like tubs like this, just full of one color of one. Like one of those would be Bud Light, the other one would be Coors Light because you know you get a ton of those.
And do you have a girlfriend that's going? Oh, when are you going to throw these out? You're not doing anything with these. How long do these have to sit around?
Nope, she is super supportive. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's very supportive of it. So.
And your girlfriend is a local comic?
She is. Her name is Judy Wolf. So she does comedy here. She's there was a kid here a few years ago. He moved on to Madison, Wisconsin. His name was Anthony Syracuse. And that was her son. And I later found that out after we started dating. She's like, oh, my son's Anthony Syracuse. I'm like, oh, that's okay. So she sent him a message and like, oh, do you know Mike Powell? And he's like, oh, yeah, he does the Comedy Buffet. I love that. I was trying to get on that podcast. And she's like, yeah, he's your new dad.
Oh.
He came out and stayed with us for a week, you know, just hopping in town doing some comedy. And the whole time I made him call me new dad. So it's the little things.
You didn't fart. You just gave off a new dad smell.
That's right. I have new dad smell.
So how long have y'all been dating?
About a year.
Any dating advice for our listeners on remasculate?
You know, I mean, it's the strongest thing we have is just communication. Who would have thunk it? Talk it all out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Talk about everything.
Do you fight?
We get pissy.
Uh-huh.
But not really fighting. She blocked me on Facebook once.
Uh-huh.
And then apologized and said that was dumb. And I resisted the urge to like stand up and go, yeah, that's right. So I just like, oh, yeah, that's okay, honey. We'll get through this.
Do y'all talk about deep things or just normal things? Do you walk out of a movie and have a discussion?
Oh, yeah,
about
yeah, for sure. Yeah, we do a lot of deep talking about, you know, film and books and, you know, theater, things like that. But then also, yeah, we get into like emotional stuff. So I've definitely got my emotional stuff I'm still trying to work through. And so I'll shut down sometimes and it's just like, you seem to be, you know, pulling back a little bit. I'm like, well, here's why. And
yeah. Well,
throw
see,
it all out there.
I've almost come to the conclusion, and I'm sure Janet, Miss Thang would hate to hear this, but I think we get along great because we just kind of keep it on a nice, normal, evil.
Just ignore
not
each
evil,
other?
Not evil, even. Was that a Freudian slip?
A nice evil field?
Yeah. Of like, you know, let's don't talk about anything deep. Let's don't discuss this because that just makes you mad. Or let's, you know, we just seem to get along because we don't, you know.
If that works for you, then Godspeed.
But do you know anybody else like that?
Because
everybody I know is like, oh, you got to talk about it. Oh, you got to – like
I personally don't. But I mean I just had a discussion the other night with somebody who's having some relationship troubles. And this guy at the bar was like, oh, you should do this and this. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't. And she's like, what do you think I should do? I'm like, do whatever you think you should do. Don't listen to somebody that this is how you solve the problem.
So you're not into self-help books? You're not into that self-help – history of that you need to do this. I'm having these how to live with an OCD person. You don't believe in those books like that, or
Three cheers for OCD. And exactly three.
Exactly three. Maybe 23 and a half.
Yeah, no, everybody's different. You can't tell somebody how to fix something. Well, unless it's a carburetor. There's really only one way to.
Well, like the other night, I went to see Deadpool, went to screening of Deadpool.
Oh, nice.
Deadpool,
okay.
Which I will do a review when I'm able to on the day it comes out. But my girlfriend did not want to go. She goes, why don't you just take somebody else? I go, you don't want to see Deadpool? She goes, no, that's your kind of movie. So we've actually come to that kind of standing of like,
that's fair.
You go see the movies you like,
right?
And I'll go see the – and then we don't even fight about it.
Well, now she can't drag you to a Meg Ryan movie, right?
Exactly.
Honey, that's not my kind of movie.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to see the new Rebel Wilson Fat Amy movie? Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
To me, that Fat Amy Rebel Wilson – is right up there with it has David Spade in it. Oh, never mind. Do you know what I mean?
No.
What?
No.
You're still on board with all the bad David Spade.
I don't think I've ever actually watched David Spade.
Not that
movie.
I don't love David. That is not like as a comic and a person. But it's just, you know, you see a name in a movie, you go, I can avoid this one. Oh, it's a new Adam Sandler Ridiculous Six.
Oh, that.
Never mind.
Yeah, Adam Sandler movies I'll skip. And you know, I still haven't seen Tommy Boy.
Oh, me either.
I just don't. I'm like, okay. Yeah, saw it. You know, I never really liked Adam Sandler either. I mean, all of his, you know, the Billy Madison. God. No, so
we had a whole conversation about that I loved his movie Happy Gilmore, and I go, no, it wasn't Happy Gilmore. It was that's the name of his production company, isn't it?
Happy Gilmore was the movie where he's a hockey player.
What's the name of the name of his production company?
Happy Madison.
Happy Madison.
Yeah.
Because that's what we were discussing. It's like, no, wait. Happy Gilmore was a movie.
Right.
Billy Madison was a movie. Oh, I thought that such a – like, no. No. There's all confusions of
– And that is like the one and only Adam Sandler movie that I've watched that I really like. And that's just because I like hockey. So
I walked out of Waterboy.
Oh, yeah.
I seriously did. I walked out of Waterboy. I walked out of three movies I've ever walked out in my life. One was called First Family with Bob Newhart years ago.
Oh, wow.
And that was just horrible. And then I walked out about Something About Mary because I just thought, this is so stupid. I have better things to do.
Oh, but that was a really good movie.
Oh, you know, I liked it better when I saw it on TV. You know, when you're nothing to do in a hotel room. But when you're sitting in a movie theater, you know, going, you know, I really have shit to do.
But, you know, at this point, it's $18 to go see a movie. Why walk out? You've already invested.
Right, right.
Like, oh, God, this sucks, but yeah. I'll
And then Waterboy, I actually remember the scene where I went, oh, fuck it, I'm out. It was little tiny alligators on cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, God, you know what? I have shit to do. I have.
I got a colonoscopy to get to. You know what? I'm really going to go.
Do you remember? So you actually remember. I was like, it's just so stupid. And I think certain things, it's kind of like Adam Sandler is still Adam Sandler. He makes Adam Sandler movies, and we need to accept that. And he has his fans and will always have his fans, most likely.
Right.
But there comes a point, sort of like Jim Carrey, where Jim Carrey was the top of the world.
That's
could
right.
do no wrong. And then finally you go, you know what? I'm over talking out the butt.
Kind of seen his face now. That's fine.
Do you see
and all of his faces? So
it's sort of like I think everybody has these periods of like, oh, top of the world, it's the same shit again.
Yeah,
it's just the same.
Yeah,
but I love it. Then there's gonna be those. I love it. No matter what he does, I love it.
Yes.
Who's coming on that towards you? Who? What person are you like? I about had it with all
Leonardo DiCaprio.
It really?
Yeah, yeah. Just give him an Oscar and let's be done with it. He can stop making movies. Here you go. Now you can go away.
You didn't love the Revenant?
I haven't seen The Revenant. Probably won't see it.
Oh.
I said the same thing about Wolf of Wall Street, though, and then I did get coerced by the girlfriend to watch that, and that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
So that was actually really good. So
I think he's a great actor. I think he just needs an Oscar, and maybe things will calm down, Chained, quit picking such,
such
projects.
Heavy, serious. Yeah, give him an Oscar so he can start doing some Happy Madison stuff.
Exactly. I want to see Leonardo talking out of his butt while playing golf.
Exactly. There we go. We've solved it. And yet Hollywood's not knocking on either one of our doors.
No.
Well, maybe yours.
No. No.
As that poster shows from behind you there.
It's another one of my Chinese.
$250 to see Steve McGrew.
In Hong Kong. Don't you like the fact they put me like I'm Thor. I'm Thor. Look. I'm the Thor.
Oh, with the microphone instead of the hammer.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That is actually kind of cool.
I'm going to get a couple of these made. Like, these are so expensive. These pull-up, pop-up signs that they roll. I don't even know how to describe them. How would you describe that?
That's like the roll-away blinds.
Right? Yeah. You pull them down and you pull this up.
You pull it up, yeah.
And these are like 100 and something bucks here.
Wow.
And they're like $15 if you get them made in China. That's what I found out from the guy that had these all over town.
Yeah.
And he goes, I go, how do you afford these? He goes, what do you mean? Because I'm thinking American. He's
right.
Like, do you know what it costs to get that made in America? He goes, nah, well, there's a little place down here makes them for like 15 bucks a piece. You want one? I'll get you one made. So that's what I'm thinking about getting one made to haul around to do after shows to put like at Steve McGrew Twitter, you know, Facebook.
There you go.
You know, so you get your picture. It looked like you're on a red carpet kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how it says at the top too, the debut of.
That was
Steve McGrew.
This one was my first time in Hong Kong. And my last trip, I did Hong Kong, Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, and Hong Kong.
Nice.
And now they, I talked to people after this last trip, they want me to go do all those and add Shanghai and Bangkok to it. So Asia is blowing up with comedy.
Yeah.
Asia right now is sort of like America in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Where, like, bars are wanting to do it, and everybody's wanting to do it, and there's a ton of new talent. And,
nice.
And the level of comedy is not quite where it should be yet because it's new, you know?
Right.
Where that's that brand new, like, anybody else's dog do this? You know?
Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Come on, ladies, you with me?
Oh, yeah, good comedy right there.
Right, right.
Solid.
Well, who are your favorite comics right now?
Anywhere or just locally?
Anywhere.
Anywhere? Right now? I like Moshe Kesher. I think he's hilarious.
I don't know.
Yeah. You need to to check him out. He's pretty funny.
From?
I think he's out in New York.
Oh, we'll check it.
Gosh, I can't remember now. I think he is. But who knows? I don't know. I really, I don't have too many people right now that I just can't get enough of.
Me either.
It's all the old guys, you know, and Bill Hicks and obviously George Carlin, stuff like that. I can listen to that forever.
Because I keep when I do interviews or radio station interviews to promote, they're like, well, who do you love? I mean, who's your favorites? And who do you like now? I'm like, well, basically, like you said, it's the same people. That's who I like. That's who I like.
Yeah.
What about the new guys? Who do you like? I really like Carlin. And I really like
yeah.
I mean, it's not – there are new guys that I'm seeing stuff coming.
Right.
But as far as like who do I like, I can't go like –
yeah, there's nobody really jumping out at me right now.
Brad Williams, to me, is one of the few that I actually, when people say, I like Brad Williams.
Yeah.
I can watch a Brad Williams set. Because a lot of times I go to comedy shows, I can't watch an entire show.
Okay.
Are you like that? Can you sit in an audience?
Yeah, I still can. I mean, we were just talking about that. I sit at open mics still, so yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad.
But you go to open mics to watch the pain and anguish, or do you watch...
Yeah, a little schadenfreude, like, yeah, eat a bag of dicks, let's go.
Because I'll find myself laughing hardest when I see a joke come out and just fall on the ground like a dead fish.
That is actually very humorous.
I will just go, ha! Stop it!
I do enjoy that. I think you enjoy that on a different level. But I do enjoy that. But I honestly, I love watching these guys grow. I mean, there's people I've seen... just can't hardly hold the microphone or even look at the audience and just, you know, hold their set list and give them my next joke. And you know, 3 or 4 months down the road, I can see them at the Squire at midnight where absolutely nobody's listening to them.
Yeah.
And do their set like they're crushing a room and just tuning it out, owning the stage, doing their thing. And that's kind of a cool thing to see the process grow. And I like watching jokes grow, too.
Right. Now here, like what you just said is something that I have noticed that's best for TV. Like you said, they're crushing, like people are listening.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I think happens in the world of comedy. It's not about whether you're actually killing a room, because I think that's the point of stand-up comedy. Are you killing a room? Are you making people belly laugh? Is there a wave of people laughing? Or were you able to go on stage and look like you did well?
Own it. Yeah. Have that confidence up there that I can do this.
And I think that's what TV a lot of times goes for, is because you're going to bomb on TV – you won't do as well as a club, but if you look like you crushed it, they sweeten it a little bit.
Oh, there you go.
You are a masterful artist.
Superstar.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of times mediocrity continues to pat each other on the back.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh my God, you killed the room. Well, I could do that too if I did nothing but relationship jokes. Well, fucker, why don't you try it then? Why don't you actually try to kill a room?
Yeah.
You know, but I see a whole lot of like we'll bring each other along. We'll let's put our arms around and we'll make a mediocrity chain and we'll just we'll sweep through the city.
Yeah. No. I mean, it just that doesn't fly. I mean, get to an audience rather than an open mic, and it's completely different.
It's
night and day. So, yeah. I mean, I've seen comics at an open mic that's nothing but comedians,
mm-hmm.
and they just – it's crickets. And get that same person telling the same jokes in a room of 15 people, even if it's a free show.
Yeah.
And they're crushing it. They're killing it because somebody's there to laugh.
Right.
You know? So it's a weird thing.
You going to see more of these rooms now, do you notice that the change of comedy has now become not from bits but almost like – you're reading Twitter? That's what I'm sort of seeing.
Well, as far as the jokes themselves?
Yeah, because they're disjointed jokes.
No, there's still some storytellers out there.
Oh, no, there is.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying, but the style of comedy that I'm seeing a lot of when I go to an open mic or drop by, you see these guys that basically have the sheet of – they might as well just be reading off their phone.
Oh, my God, that's the worst.
Yeah. Because they're disjointed. They might as well just be reading their Twitter feed.
Right. Which is what I've been told I should do.
Really?
Yeah. Just go up there and read your Twitter. I'm like, nobody wants to hear this.
If you have a good delivery
and
a nice
didn't even get a one like on Twitter.
You could be the next Rob Delaney.
Yes.
Speaking of which, what happened to him? Remember when he was like, all of a sudden, he is Mr. Twitter. He's the king of Twitter. He's blowing up. He's going to be in clubs. Seriously, I don't even see him pop up my Twitter feed much anymore.
I have not seen him on my Twitter feed.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. I'm not on Twitter as hard as I was a few years ago now. So
were you working it hard?
I was killing it. Yeah. No, I was doing pretty well on Twitter. We talked about this last podcast that I was on. You know, the format to working Twitter. And
yeah.
Now it really is just something I can't say in polite society. Like
I'm
okay,
just going to throw this
pull
out
up
there
on Twitter and write it down, and then it just stays.
Are you ever afraid that it might come back at you somehow, some way?
No.
Did it ever, like,
no.
When you decide to run for office, like,
yeah, right.
Did you see your Twitter from 2012?
this one tweet where you said, realistically, baby funerals shouldn't be that long.
Right. That kind of stuff.
I'd be like, no, I still stand by that. Nobody knew that kid.
Nobody.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, no, I don't. What do I care?
Wow.
What do I care?
I feel bad about laughing at that, but I'm going to.
Everybody does.
What do you consider your best Twitter joke?
Well, I just discovered, this has probably been on for like years, but I just discovered you can pin tweets.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how long that's been happening, but I finally pinned a tweet that I think is hilarious that nobody really – I don't know if – I think people get it, but people just don't think it's that funny. But I thought it was hilarious. I said I'm going to rename my cat Detective Mills because he's always wondering, what's in the box? I thought it was funny, but it's a pretty niche audience. I guess you have
to
have seen
seven
a few times to really get that joke.
Right. you can actually go back and there's a way to find out your most stars retweeted jokes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And my top ones are, if I get a teardrop tattoo on my face, is that direct deposit or do the checks come to my house? The welfare checks, does that direct? Yeah. That's
wow.
That one. And the other one is, no, I don't know him, but I know the muffin top woman. So apparently I don't know the muffin
that,
man.
That one worked out well for you?
Yeah. So those two, of all the shit that I've, you know, for years that I've been tweeting, for whatever reason, those are the ones that seem to be the most starred and retweeted.
All right. Now you're making me get Twitter out.
Okay.
All right. Oh, there's – we already did that one. I do a lot of those stupid the hashtag wars for at midnight.
Oh yeah.
So which are you watching? Do you ever watch that?
Every once in a while, when I know one of the comics that's going to be on, but I do know our Growlix boys.
I was going to say, so you're watching tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow night, all three of the Growlix boys are going to be on.
I got some good ones. This one was ridiculous. The last hashtag war that I did was the awkward 80s movies.
Uh huh.
And so I of course did some that I thought was hilarious that went nowhere. Tween Wolf.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That didn't get anything.
Nothing. Got nothing.
Nothing. St. Elmo's Choir.
Mm-hmm.
I got two. That's likes
kind of a
on that.
Kind of a Glee thing, right?
Where's the one that I thought was really? Oh. See, I don't. Maybe just nobody really remember this movie, but Gleaming the Pube.
Uh-huh. Gleaming the Cube, yeah. The skateboard movie.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Nothing. But I did Hot Flash Dance.
Uh-huh.
And got like three retweets and 13 likes on that one. And I'm like, really? Hot Flash Dance?
Now, who would star in Hot Flash Dance? Which aging actress would you have as the...
Is B. Arthur still alive? No.
She's way past
she's
hot.
She's way...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need, like, maybe... Marissa Tomei might be in that age group of still almost
possibly. Yeah, I don't understand women. Basically, is what I just meant by that comment.
who's your MILF?
Wait a minute. This is the last
okay,
one. I'll put
right,
it
go ahead.
This one is the one I really thought was great for awkward 80s movies. Was Daddy Shack?
Daddy Shack. Nothing.
Come on. Nothing. Zero.
Nothing.
I thought it was great. Anyway,
that's pretty good. Now, who would be your MILF? No, you can't say because you have a girlfriend.
No.
You don't want to start a fight.
I'm going to say my girlfriend because she's older than me.
Oh, good answer.
And now she's going to listen to this podcast and I will be sleeping on the couch.
She'll have a t-shirt that says MILF when
yes.
You come home.
I told her, I said, I can't wait till one of your kids has children so that I can fulfill that GILF fantasy.
GILF. How much older is she than you? Gilf sounds like something from Lord of the Rings, by the way.
She's 6 years older than me, so it's not too terribly out of whack.
6 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad at
no,
all.
No, not bad at all.
No.
But, no, it's – yeah, I can't answer that question any other way.
Okay. Because I couldn't answer it at all because there is nobody else. There is nobody else in the whole world. There's not even other women on this planet. There is things that don't have penises. But they're not women.
Ah, okay. There we go. I mean, that's one way to look at it, I guess. Wow.
You know, guys that can just have this so open relationship of like, hey, let's go to a titty bar together. Hey.
Oh, we've already done that, actually.
Have y'all done that?
We did do that. That was hilarious. That was just hanging out at the Horseshoe Lounge one night a little later than we should have. And this guy we just met was like, hey, we're going to PT's. Come on.
And you're like, sure.
I don't know. Okay, fine. And a guy paid for everything, so why wouldn't I go? And
did it end well? Did it go well?
It was hilarious because we were just being goofy and having fun. And finally, Judy looks at me. She goes, "We look like the old people trying to spice up our marriage." I'm like, "Oh God, you're right."
Oh man.
So then we had a
did
lot
it
of
work?
Fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Did it spice up?
Well, then I'm.
Come on, we're all friends.
No, I told one of the dancers. I was like, "Where are your parents?" And I turned into a dad.
Where are your parents?
I was like, you can't. Judy's elbowing me. You can't say that in here. I'm like, I can say whatever I want.
What do you think put somebody down the path of, I think I'm going to go take my clothes off for the general public?
Money.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty an obvious.
Yeah, that's it. But do you think that's it? I don't think there's any, there's no, you know, daddy issues
touching. I don't want to stripper shame.
Yeah, but no, I think it's, I'd say 90% of it is, hey, I've got a body. I can make money.
Yeah. But do you think that's past the thing of like, you know what? I care more about myself. I could probably work two jobs and not show my coochie. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
I'm just trying to find that point of where do you go? Like, I know it's a lot of money, but I got to live with this for the rest of my life. And if any guy can't accept the fact that I used to show my coochie, well, he could just fuck off. Do you see what I'm saying? You see what I... Because I don't know a lot of happy ex-strippers. Do you? Not that I know any.
I'm gonna go ahead and say I don't know any at all.
See,
I don't know
where this line
of questioning is going, Steve.
I don't either. But I'm saying maybe they don't hang. They can't come back into the atmosphere without burning up into reentry.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You see what I'm saying?
There's no alumni shows at PTs, right?
Right.
Little greatest hits action. No, it doesn't happen.
No, this Tuesday night, you loved her in 1979. She's back, and she's badder than ever.
She's only back because the American with Disabilities Act got her to put a ramp in.
See? See what America has done? You can't fire me. I still have a leg.
Oh, God. Oh.
Please welcome to the stage. Hop along, Heidi.
Wow.
You know what? I think if airlines should be forced to use people until they die, strip bars should be forced to use.
Exactly.
You can't just fire me because I have a bullet wound now.
Oh,
you know,
my
you
God.
Can't. Just because my ex-crackhead boyfriend stabbed me 14 times and I'm scarred up is not – I'm still attractive. You cannot fire me.
Hey, some dudes like scars.
Scars just tell the stories of your life.
It's funny you brought that up, the airlines. I actually got cut off on an airplane flying to Cancun last year.
Did you really?
And I'm pretty sure it's because of the joke I made before takeoff and I said it a little too loud. But I think it's somebody else's joke, so I don't want to take credit for it. So, like I'm not – this isn't like an original thought. So
you've disclaimed.
Somebody's listening to me. Don't come at me.
You've disclaimed.
But we're taxiing and they're doing the – you know, pull the seatbelt and the life vest and all this. And the stewardess was 80 if she was a day.
Yeah.
And I leaned over to Mac, my buddy Mac. And I said it – the engines are revving up. I said it loud enough so he could hear it, but I got laughter on both sides of the behind in front of me, and I was like, oh, shit. But I said, man, who did she blow to get this job, Orville or Wilbur? It was fun. I thought it was just being funny. And then it was like I had one double gin, and they're like, yeah, you're done. I'm like, oh, shit. Keep my mouth shut if I want more gin.
They either heard you or somebody else went, did you hear what he said about you?
Yeah. So, oh, well.
That's a pretty good joke, though, by the way.
It was a good joke. I mean, yeah, I can't take credit for it, but I don't remember where I heard that, but I remember hearing that exact phrasing, and I was like, well, this is a good time to say it. So
right.
I did.
Well, I was watching the other day, somebody posted some Jonathan Winters clips on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you happen to see them, but there was a clip from the Dean Martin show.
Oh, wow.
And it was set up by saying Dean Martin only had the straight lines. That's all he had.
Oh,
he
yeah.
had no idea what was going to happen. It was just going to be 6 to 8 minutes of improv with Jonathan Winters.
God.
And it was supposed to be – they set up – the old director was telling the story, and he said that it was supposed to be on an airline, and Jonathan Winters is going to sit next to him and realize he's sitting next to Dean Martin.
Oh, okay.
And it was hysterical.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
Hysterical, but it was so dated with the – hey, honey, how you doing? A little pat on the butt when the stewardess walked by.
Oh, yeah.
They love it when you do that. This kind of, you know, like, it was so dated with the whole reference. You know, she's a hottie. Oh, give me a kiss. Look, give me a little kiss. Oh, yeah.
You'd find out who the air marshal is if you did that now.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
But are we just guys and we go, "Oh, I miss those days," are we just such a fucked up time that like women go, "That was disgusting," you know?
I mean, think
they took the jobs, they knew the job, they didn't care. Look, talk to every old stewardess; they'll even go, "Oh, the days of flying was so much different. We had so much fun. It was like a party in right. the air." Like, you know, and now it just becomes this. I'm 80 and I'm grumpy. And
yeah, now it's. I've been on a plane maybe 3 times in the last 10 years. I've not enjoyed any of it.
And I fly sometimes 2 or 3 times a week.
Right.
And you just become like, oh.
Oh, you're cattle now, though.
Just total.
The planes aren't even, I mean, I remember being a kid flying in planes. It was, you'd get up and run around, you'd go and look, go into the
pilot
cockpit.
Would be like, "Come on up, take
yeah.
a look."
Yeah. Do you like Gladiator movies, Michael? Okay, not my line either, guys. But yeah, now it really is. I mean, you're herded in like cattle and they're just cramming you in.
Did
there.
You fly Frontier with the new lawn chairs?
Oh, God, what?
Have you ever seen the new Frontier
no.
chair? Frontier chairs are hard, like you would just have these hardback plastic. They don't recline. They're just like if you were sitting
wow.
in somebody's lawn furniture almost, and the tray that comes down in front of you is no longer a tray. It's just like this little tiny thing about maybe 6 inches by 6 inches that comes down. Can't put a laptop on it anymore.
Wow.
You can't – it's like – really?
Pretty soon they'll just be like, loaded with bunk beds. It'll be like a hostel. Just pack them in there. We can get 200 more people on here.
You know, slave ship.
Just bar stools now.
We'll be head to foot, head to foot, head to foot, God. All the way down the plane.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. All right, cool. We've done airline humor.
Well, we did.
Hold on. Let me check that off the list.
Okay.
There we go. Got that done.
Speaking of airline humor, let's go straight to the animals. What do they call them now? When you have to have your dog you're on the plane with you, what are they?
Oh, the service animals.
Service animal is different. Service animal is like a sight animal, like a companion.
Oh, companion animal.
Companion animal.
It's still a service animal, though, isn't it? It's just it's now prescribed.
Yeah, but
– you're depressed. You need a puppy.
Right, and I'm going to fly with this, and I'm going to say it's my companion. They had a turkey the other day. I saw that on the news. Did you see that? Somebody flew
with a turkey.
Companion turkey.
Well,
because
actually,
they had enough paperwork that said yes, that's his.
Actually, the turkey it was part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation,
uh-huh.
and that was just his dream was to always fly.
Oh my God! I have to give you that one. That's pretty good. The turkey's dream was to
the
fly.
The turkey was part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Because the turkey always wanted to fly.
Always wanted to fly. So they were like, well, here you go, little gobbler.
Wow.
Well,
that's been
a good podcast. I'll
that
see
was
you guys.
Pretty good. You've been hanging out at those shows with the, all right, no set list. Here's your topic. What the fuck? Those scare the those would scare the shit out of
those
me.
Those are fun. Yeah.
I bet they would be.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine. You know,
yeah,
that is to me scariest improv of the time because I love improv. We used to like get up and do freeze tag and that kind of stuff. That kind of improv,
right?
Because you can blow it off to the next person or yours wasn't that good. Let's just keep it
right.
moving. But when you go, okay, your topic is turkeys. Go
turkeys.
Why did he cross the road?
Yeah.
So have you seen some of those?
Yeah, actually. And, oh man, I'm going to shamelessly self-promote now.
Go ahead. Go.
Damn
it. Go for it.
No, we've actually started a show that's similar in that where we do question and answer with comedians and it's called the Walk of Shame Dating Game.
Oh, I've seen you post about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
dressed like the 70s or was that just,
no, that was just that one thing.
Okay.
We just did the Super Bowl Sunday. We actually did one. And that was just the Valentine's edition. We're just throwing out editions as we, a month with a holiday in it.
Right.
And but it's the eligible bachelors and bachelorettes are all stand-up comedians. And then we pull somebody from the audience to be the contestant. So they're just a regular person reading questions that we've written that are so off the walls. And then the comics have to answer them. And the answers are usually – they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So one of them was – it was just the last show was 2 shows ago. I love Disney movies. What Disney movie would best describe our first date? And I think it was Cody Spiker said, probably Little Mermaid, because much like Ariel, my bottom half's off limits. And I'm like, that's great. I mean, and that's the kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. So it's not really topic related, but it is just the here's a question. Now the comics are out there with no real set list; they just have to answer.
Now that would
the
be
questions.
Good.
So it's
that I think that would be easier because that's almost like a conversation back and forth.
Right.
You know,
you're able to play off of that, but
play
yeah,
off the words,
but off of one word
but
suggestion.
Word, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Your topic is caviar. Go. What? What? No. Let me work a real club. I'll show you how it's done. I've actually talked to Brent Gill about doing one of his shows. That
the Infomation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've watched a few online and thought, you know, that's just basically a caption this picture.
Right.
You know, so I think that would be fun and an easier thing to do.
I give him a little shit sometimes.
Do you?
It's basically what the Comedy Buffet was.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
I remember that. You'd tell you, here's the news
three
story.
Three or four comics, and we'd do the news stories and then just, you know, tear it apart.
Yeah.
But then again, I was not by any stretch original with that either. That had already been done a million times before, so.
But it worked.
Yeah, it was good.
At least your friends liked it.
Ben Adams just posted something the other day. You know, it was a story out of Florida where a guy got arrested for assault because he threw an alligator into a
Wendy's.
Yeah. And he hashtagged it, bring back the Comedy Buffet. I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen, man.
Why not? Why wouldn't you bring back the Comedy Buffet? Buffet.
That's how Greg Proops calls it.
The Buffet.
Yeah, when I met him once and I was like, hey, I'm Michael Powell. And he's like, oh, yes, from the Buffet. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah, of course. Very. Yeah.
And I pronounce it that way because I love listening to that show, Keeping Up Appearances.
Oh, God. Yes. Mrs. Bucket.
Bouquet. But now, why wouldn't you want to bring that show back in that format? If you're going to start producing shows around town, that would be a great format.
Because I really, at this point, it really is a time thing. I mean, uh-huh. I've still got the regular job issue, and then I've got, you know, I'm weekend dad and doing the Walk of Shame, and we're trying to get that around at like some other bars on other nights, and we were doing a podcast for a while called Two Drunk Moms, and
oh, I remember you posted
and that one's actually we're bringing that one back.
How many episodes of that did you do?
Oh, God,
and where can people find that?
Maybe like eight, if that. And that's that was Abby Ault, and she quit comedy.
Oh, what happened to
that? She walked away. So
what happened there?
Taking its toll. She wasn't functioning in her family, so she needed to spend more time with her family. So I was like, can't fault you for that. But you know, like the Comedy Buffet, I'll get a like every other week still on the Facebook page. I haven't posted anything in 3 years.
Well, people find it somehow. Yeah. Jump a connection, and they run across an old picture. I'm sure that's
So it still has that, but then we really didn't have a whole lot of like audience feedback on that.
Yeah,
and from the Two Drunk Moms, just in the I think eight episodes. I can't remember. We'd post it. We'd get like feedback immediately, and it really had a good niche audience. So that one I think is more viable to do something that's going to be fun and, you know, long term than the Buffet. The Buffet is just stroking egos of local comics.
But it had such a great logo.
I did like the logo.
The logo was great.
Yeah. That was my buddy Jerry Goodwin. He's the only guy I know that graduated from the Art Institute and still has a really good job.
Ah. Well, he did good work.
Yeah, he did really good. I just told him, hey, say the Comedy Buffet and make it kind of 50s. There it was. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, my new logo, I had one done off Fiverr. And the remasking, I just wanted to – somebody said you just need a logo, not like – because I use my picture off the remasculate. It's kind of that fake mustache.
Yeah.
That you've seen it. And somebody said you need like a brand, like, you know, just a brand type of logo. And I had one done off a fiber. Fiber! You need your fiber. Fiverr.
No, nobody wants that logo.
Nobody wants that logo. Shitty logo. And it turned out pretty good.
Okay.
For just, you know, $5 off of Fiverr. But as I found out from somebody else, I was reading one day, and somebody said, oh, there's this great app called Retro something, and It's free off for your iPhone. Basically, it was designed with this app.
Oh,
that's
wow.
what I was looking through, kind
of
screenshot, like,
son
oh, this
bitch.
Son of a bitch just charged me $5 and designed it on an iPhone app.
You're mad that he wasn't at, like, a drafting table with all kinds of tools?
Yes, yes. Or at least had a computer screen in front of him.
Just some kid in a Starbucks.
Done. Yeah, $5. I'll take another latte, you know? But the logo turned out all right.
Nice.
You know? But I don't use it like I should.
Your brand should be your hair.
It's sort of... Thank you. Have you seen the...
No, I don't think I've seen it.
I won't show you the recording, but it basically it's a beard, beanie cap.
Okay.
And it's kind of retro lettering and logo. It says remasculate.
Okay.
Retro, because that's, you know, everything retro is cool for a logo.
Yes.
For whatever reason. You can't go too modern, because that's not really representative of you in the future.
Right.
But so you go retro.
Yeah.
And everybody I know... And everybody I talked to has talked about how this podcast and this name should be more and bigger than it is. And I agree with that. But in a meeting I had with the Discovery Channel a while back, because I was pitching a show to CMT, and they go, well, tell us about yourself. And I go, well, I have this podcast for Masculine. I like that. Seriously, the guy at Discovery Channel goes, I like that. What's it about? He goes, I love the name. And it was like, that's not even what I'm here for. But he was kind of saying, you know, there's not a man show anymore, that show disappeared,
right.
And there's not a guy show on TV, you know. And even the same thing with iHeartRadio. I hit you up because iHeartRadio came to me and go, hey, I like the idea of Remasculate. You want to do a show? Well, that sort of fell apart because it never worked out.
Gotcha.
But there's something about the whole concept of Remasculate that resonates with people of like, yes, we do need to sort of do this again or man up or hold men up again. And I think for a long time we became the butt of the jokes.
Oh, I think we still are.
I think we still are, but it was bad for a while.
If you've watched any TV commercials,
I don't know what product to buy.
We are idiots.
Idiots.
Just absolute idiots. I love it. Yeah.
And so I think people are sort of like want a return to Father Knows Best in a way. You know, like I want somebody to actually – and I think women sometimes, if they're not just violently feminist softball-playing people, kind of want that too. Because I talk to women and go, you know, I miss having a guy take care of me.
Right.
I sort of miss that. Because guys have gotten the attitude of like, fuck them. If they're equal, they open their own goddamn door. Fuck them. If they're equal, you know, get their own seat on the bus. I'm not standing up for any bitch. Do you see what I'm saying?
It swung a little hard the other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense, or am I just being too remasculine?
No. I'm beginning to second guess bringing you rock stars.
Yeah.
McGrew's all hopped up now. Watch out. No, I could see that. I could see how it's now swung really hard the other direction, but
mm-hmm.
But no, the whole thing with us being dumb is it's just cracks me up. Watching that stupid car commercial where the guy's driving around with his kids all day and it's the Kiss song is playing.
Right.
Beth, yeah. And then he gets in the car like, oh God, I got text from the, oh God, what do I need to do? Don't forget milk. Oh, that's right. Milk. I couldn't remember one thing.
One thing all day.
And Judy goes, get off his back, bitch. He's been hanging out with the kids all day. I'm like, yeah, I love you, honey.
See, women are swinging back the other way.
Never mind. He's been taking care of the kids all day.
Harassing
for milk.
I think it's one of the things that I've got from my girlfriend from watching. She loves YouTube makeup channels, YouTube makeup tutorials,
boy.
And I'm sure you're aware of those.
I am aware of those, yeah.
But we were listening to a woman, and I wish I could remember her name, and if anybody knows, write me, let me know. But she's the one, she's like the CEO of these makeup conventions. They're like these big beauty brand conventions that are happening, and beauty vloggers are showing up, and it, like thousands of people are starting to come out to these conventions and things. And I think that's sort of a sign that it's swinging back to femininity. Like, that people are really into, like, I love my makeup. I love getting dressed up. I love being, you know.
Right.
So do you sort of see that as a because it was a long time of, I don't wear makeup. Fuck him if he doesn't think I'm beautiful, you know. Swing and a miss. And there's a swing and a miss.
I think there's a, I think there's a broad spectrum of people in this world. I don't know if it's a, if it was a giant movement of that, but there have been some of
that. Yes, Mr. Politically Correct. There's always a broad specter.
Oh, I meant broad, like, you know, a broad.
A broad.
There's a broad spectrum, and that's what the color she puts on
this,
her face.
And this broad, she's wearing pink. That's what I'm saying. But I love how we so tiptoe around things these days too.
Yeah,
that was another thing that I noticed from my Asian trip, going to Asia and working. They don't live in the PC world that America does.
Right,
like their jokes are still like making fun of each other. Like,
Oh,
you're Chinese. Well, I'm Filipino. You know, like that thing.
Right.
Oh, these crazy Singaporeans. You know, that kind of. You know what I mean? They're still.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, but we don't, because we've been like, oh, why would you say that? Why would you point out that they do those things? Why would you highlight the fact that?
Yeah.
You know. But they're like, hey, did you eat there? How was the dog? You know, they're the ones making those jokes, you know?
Yeah, but some of those jokes are just done.
Oh, they're done.
Yeah.
I agree.
I saw something the other day. I agree with you. I think the political correctness is going – is rampant and out of control in a lot of areas of life. But I did see somebody post the other day that said political correctness isn't killing comedy. Your jokes are.
True. Like,
that's a fair point. I mean,
right.
get a good joke.
Political correctness has limited the amount of things. And I think so many younger comics that have grown up in a PC world are like, well, you can't make fun of that. That's sexist. That's racist. Then they just start trying for the obscure or the, you know.
Yeah.
And then you go, fuck, that's not even funny.
And now it's just 10 minutes of Pokemon jokes.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, don't you miss Angry Beavers?
Me, and I got a solid Pikachu closer.
Yeah,
this is gonna kill.
Yeah, no one understand my Disney movie reference. No, nobody did.
Yeah, the next time somebody yells out, "Read a book," I just want to yell back, "Be funny."
Yes. Yeah. Try something that the mass knows what you're talking about. That's kind of the. I understand niche comedy. Yeah, but.
Yeah,
but when you're up there thinking, oh, you know, I can't do that, and my history teacher told us about this thing. What? Your history? I wasn't in that class. I'm not going to relate to this at all.
Yeah. Basically, what you're saying is your joke, your whole set list shouldn't be a trail of tears.
Exactly.
Thank you.
God.
You know,
catching some shit for that one later. I bet.
You know, when the Indians, what? First of all, I can already see this is not going to be funny. You ever seen one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm about to make a statement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, no. I don't want to talk about it.
Who's your? Is there a local statement comic around that you're?
No, I mean, there's not in one in particular, but everybody's got their thing. You know, there's a guy on Facebook that I'm just, oh, God. Congratulations. Yeah, you've made your point. Now, can we get back to posting jokes? That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know, that and then carrying that over to the stage and – oh, God. Anyway.
Yeah. And by the way, don't ever call out another nationality or race on their use of a racist joke. I've noticed this too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can't point that out to them that, hey, that was a racist joke, because then their friends on Twitter turn and attack you. Well, maybe you should try something besides cat jokes. You know, like instead of just going, oh, damn, I guess you're right. That if I'm going to preach about this, I shouldn't be putting this type of joke out there.
Okay.
Does that make any? No.
Yeah, no, I'm done. No, I just started thinking of cat jokes when you said that.
Yeah, like, we all have it. We all have good cat jokes. It's never too early to feed the cat. But I got a Twitter argument the other day with somebody about that.
Can you argue on Twitter?
Basically, yeah, they try to argue and then they don't and then they lose and then they post to their friends, go get them.
They Twitter shame you?
Yeah.
It just seems like a shitty platform for ranting. I mean, you got to be really concise with your rants. It's 140 characters.
True. True.
Maybe it's a better platform for ranting because you really have to get it out there.
Well, some of the
quickly.
People that rant, I mean, I've seen like Ralphie May and some of those guys that there's like 20 tweets that you have to read in an order.
In order, yeah.
And I've seen that. Like Kanye does that shit all the time. Kanye oh, God.
I think I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go on a rant and do like 10 tweets, but just in the middle, I'll like retweet something ridiculous.
Like just stop it
yeah.
for a second. People go, what the hell?
He's like, oh, look, he's going off on this thing. Oh, Charmin. What? Yeah, just retweet some kind of brand or something. That'd be fun.
Do you ever follow any of the rants like that? Have you ever gotten into the following the Kanye thing or the where they you read the next day? All those tweets were deleted the next morning.
No, especially Kanye. Anything with Kanye or the
Kardashians.
I don't even pretend like I care. Yeah.
You know, the bad thing about the Kardashians is there's a new generation of Kardashians. Mm-hmm. They call themselves Jenners now. but there's a whole new – as they've grown up and had their babies, now the new two little teenage Jenner girls come into the keeping up with the – and you're like, when does this shit stop?
Yeah, it's never. It's horrible. God. Yeah.
You have daughters?
Yeah, I have two daughters.
And do you let them watch this kind of stuff? Or
well, when they're at my place, no.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 11 and 8, so they're still...
Oh, they're too young for that anyway.
You know, Nickelodeon and Disney Channel stuff. Except for my oldest. I actually, all of them, I'll let them watch like pretty much any movie they want. Oh, so
you don't go by the PG-13, PGR...
No, and my oldest is super into movies and film, and I mean, I'd let her watch Fight Club just to see if she'd figure it out, and she did.
Really?
Oh yeah,
because I didn't get it.
Oh, she figured it out right away.
I didn't get it till the end.
Oh my God, she
had it figured out before the end.
Well,
or she caught it right at the twist.
She caught it right at the twist when he's in the bar and he said, "What's my name?"
Yeah.
And then he said, "Your name's Tyler Durden." And she looked at me. She goes, "Oh, because through the whole movie, you never knew his name." And I'm like, "Jeez, yes, congratulations, you got it." So. My next one, I'm going to let her watch Usual Suspects and see how she does on that one. So.
Seven? She hasn't seen Seven yet.
Yeah, we have watched Seven.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, that was a hard one to...
The head's going to be in the box, Daddy.
Oh, man, that was a rough one to... I thought, you know, Fight Club was terrible, too, because I told her... Because she really does. She analyzes movies, and she's really cool about this. So I said, we're going to watch Fight Club. Everybody else is in bed. It's just her and I. Said, so if any point during the whole movie
you have
a question, we'll pause it, and we'll talk. I'm thinking, you know, about... cinema and stuff. So then it gets to the scene where they confiscate his luggage because it's vibrating because it could be a dildo. And she goes, "What's a dildo?" And I'm like, "Oh, fuck." Had to pause the movie and have a talk with my daughter about what a dildo was. So.
Well, you had a better dildo story than mine because my son, being named Dylan, I went through all the names in my head. Well, you can't call him Richard because they'll call him Dick. You know, you can't do
right.
that because they'll call him this. And then and when I finally... we decided on Dylan. I was like, Dylan? Just Bob Dylan because he's named after Bob. I couldn't think of anything. And then one day I keep coming from school. Daddy, kids keep calling me dildo. What's a dildo?
Oh, no.
Oh. You know, we'll talk about that later. There was never any follow-up conversation to that. It was just
I'll be in the garage.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit, I missed that one.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I let my son – I tried really hard, seriously, to go by the ratings.
Okay.
I did because I just thought, let a kid be a kid. You know, I'm just – that's the way.
Right.
But I upped my game by letting him watch Tremors one day when he was 5 years old. And it scared the shit out of him. He would not come down off the furniture. He was going around the house by crawling on the table, the chairs, the back of the couch, jumping to... He did not want to touch the floor. He was so afraid.
And that little boy invented parkour. And now you know the rest of the story.
Well, now we know if your daughter turns out to be the president of the United States, it's because she was ahead of her time.
She watched Fight Club at 9 years old. Yeah.
When you get a call from the school,
yes,
Mr. Powell, your daughter started Fight Club, and
cool. She making any money off of this? Daddy's a little short on rent this month.
Well, thanks for coming on and doing the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, man. That was fun.
Tell everybody how to not find Comedy Buffet.
Yeah, don't Google the Comedy Buffet and go find everything that it used to be. And you could, I mean, you know, I'm just Michael Powell on Facebook, and I think I'm still at the Comedy Buffet on Twitter.
And, is that where they will find your harshness?
Yes, that's where they'll find the. That's where they'll find tweets like, I just got back from a preschool graduation. I now understand school shootings.
Wow. Followed by a baby funeral joke. Wow.
Yeah, look for Two Drunk Moms. It's going to come back. Well,
do you play one of the drunk moms?
No, actually, I don't. I'm the drunk dad.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's Abby Ault, Judy Wolfe, and myself. And between the three of us, we have 10 children.
Wow.
And we're all in various stages. Abby's still married. She's got a blended household. I'm weekend dad, newly divorced. Judy's kids are 21 and 24, moved off and out of the house. And now she's also got the weekend stepmom kind of thing going on, you know, so...
Maybe
it's a wild mix. It really is kind of a cool show.
Somebody should start a business called Weekend Parenting Daycare, where everybody's got the kids, but you just put them in somebody. You know, it's my weekend. Here, you watch. Here's my weekend. I watch everybody's kids for a weekend.
It's like a kid carpool kind of a timeshare.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it's your weekend, but you really already had plans. Hey, I'm going to need a sitter for my weekend kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's why I moved into an apartment building that my mom lives in, so I've got a built-in babysitter.
Yes!
Yeah, I played that one right.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on and doing the podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
Michael Powell, everybody. Michael Powell. So, guys, hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, share it with your friends. Make sure you like it and subscribe and go on iTunes. And make sure you give us a review. We've been getting better reviews. I'm not saying better. More often we're getting reviews.
See, that's good.
The reviews have never been bad. I'm very happy about that.
Well, I'll change that.
I was just afraid of that with the dead baby joke funeral thing. All right. See you. God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.